Hello, St. Albans Medical Center. Mary speaking. How may I direct your call?
Yes, hi. My name is Alex Marks. Alex Marks. I'm calling about my father, Colin Marks. Is he still in your hospital?
I'm afraid all information about our patients is confidential, Miss Marks.
Oh, right, of course. Totally. But it's just that See, I live on the other side of the country, so I can't come and visit in person, and there's no way for me to know how he's doing or anything. Please. I'm desperate. Just tell me if he's still with you. Please?
All right. He was discharged 2 days ago, in fact. Hang on, who did you say this was again? You're his daughter, you said? Hello? Miss Marks?
Realm presents Memory Lane Season 1, Episode 7.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Casa da Amizade, Center of Health and Wellness, California, June 18. My pulse races as I hang up the phone. Shit. I mean, I'm happy I finally got answers about Colin, but I didn't think they'd discharge him yet. I wonder if there was anyone to go home to. His social media said he was divorced. I assumed he was some lonely grifter, eager to tell a few lies and hang out with a chatty girl who footed the bill for his meals. Can I really blame him for that? I shake my head. Colin lied to me, but that's not the point. What matters is that he's okay. I can forget about it now.
Can you, though?
Whispers a voice in my head.
What if he decides to track you down and press charges?
My head pounds. To distract myself, I pace through this unfamiliar bedroom. Cassie's bedroom. A cursory look around tells me there's not much left from Cassie's era. In fact, it reminds me more of a hotel room. There are plain, impersonal paintings on the walls. One of a chicken, another of a series of farming equipment. On the bed is a dark green comforter, which matches the pale green walls. The drawers in the simple white dresser are all empty. Nothing's hanging in the closet. Then I think of the memory that hit me when I first lay down in here. A vision of a numb Cassie scribbling in a journal and hiding it underneath her bed. It's a long shot, but I get down on my knees and feel around. At first, all I touch under the bed are fluffy balls of dust. Ugh. But then, my fingertips graze a floorboard that's slightly lower than the rest. Bingo. I glance over my shoulder at the door. It's still shut tight. I've only been in here about an hour, trying and failing to nap thanks to the worries chasing through my mind. But I'm aware that Judith or Cassie might stop in to check on me at any moment. Taking a deep breath, I dig my nails into the crevices around the board and pry it open. It takes some time, but eventually I'm able to lever it open just far enough for me to stick a hand inside. My fingertips brush something familiar. The jacket of a hardbound book. I can't believe it. I draw it out and brush it clean as best I can. My heart rises all the way into my throat. Even before I crack the cover, I know this is what I was hoping for. My mother's diary.
Shavasana today. Sometimes I remember other things from before, but I know they're not real. I need to trust her process. Everything she teaches me helps more and more.
The letters are scrawled in fat, dark Sharpie. I remember that Sharpie. And I remember Cassie holding this book, writing with that pen. I remember, too, Cassie running a hand over her visible bump. She wrote this after her road trip. Months after. So how am I remembering it? It's just like the memory at the lake, when I saw Cassie being drowned. It shouldn't be in my head. Dr. Novick said so himself.
You shouldn't have seen that.
I push his voice from my mind angrily. The next few pages are drawings not unlike the ones I unearthed in the journal I found in Cassie's closet. Birds, flowers, hands. A few pages after that, I find more text, and I wonder if it's about my father.
I think of him sometimes. I know that's wrong. I'm just so hurt. She tells me, again and again, that it's for the best. But I just feel so lost. Some days I can still hear the hate in his final words. Other days I can feel his arms around me, his love. But she tells me those parts are lies. My brain playing tricks.
There's a creak outside my door, and my head shoots up. The room is still. The only sounds are tree branches scraping against the windows in the breeze. But the hair on the back of my neck prickles. Is someone outside? Listening? Watching? After what feels like ages, I lower my head and flip another few pages as quietly as I can. I come to another entry.
I've gotten in trouble. She says that I don't listen. That I'm not good. So I must do a ritual. She says the lake will make me stronger. It will turn me into a king snake. They eat venom to make themselves immune, and that's what she wants me to be too. Immune. Strong.
King snakes? This is getting weirder and weirder. Another few pages and I find something else.
Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I don't think I can do this. Sometimes I don't think I can stay. Sometimes I think I'll die if I go.
And finally, the page I've been looking for.
None of this is real. None of this is real. None of this is real. None of this is real.
My mind reels. Then, I draw in a breath. Was that another creak outside?
Hello? Is someone there?
No answer. Biting my lip, I look down at the book once more. And then I see it. The final thing. Cassie must have written this later. It's in all capital letters at the bottom of the page.
Don't trust anyone.
My heart beats harder, faster. Even though I know that's crazy, it feels like this message is speaking to me. Unnerved, I tear the pages out of the book and shove them into my pocket. Slamming the book shut, I crouch down to hide it back under the bed. But as I'm on the floor, the room spins with a now familiar sensation. Another memory's coming. Shit! I'm Cassie again. She's outside, standing on the shores of a big lake, one that I recognize. Heather Lake. It's nighttime. Figures dot the shoreline. A chill runs through me. The drowning. But it's more than just the memory making me shiver. Cassie's white dress is soaked. She's drenched, head to toe, and I'm feeling the effects. She's panting and out of breath, but alive. Figures are circling around, laughing, clapping. Then someone slaps her shoulder.
Congratulations! Do you feel clean? Better?
Wait. Were they not trying to kill her? I realize all the onlookers I saw earlier were witnesses. Like this is some kind of bizarre baptism. It does nothing to quell my nerves. Especially because that voice. The woman touching Cassie's shoulder sounds familiar. This time Cassie turns to the woman, smiling. And the moment their eyes meet, a jolt of electricity fires through me. She looks younger. In fact, at first glance, I mistake her for her daughter. For once, though, her face is crystal clear in Cassie's memory. It's Trina. From the diner. I'm sure of it. Trina's eyes sparkle in the moonlight. I take in her wet dress, her dripping hands. And then it hits me. Trina was the one who pushed Cassie under the lake water in the last memory. She held Cassie down while she gasped for breath. And Trina was at Heather Lake again, yesterday. Did she know we were coming? Had she sent her daughter to hunt for us? Then Dr. Novick's warning comes back to me.
It's dangerous. You need to leave.
Did we need to leave because of her? Why? And what does Dr. Novick know? The memory is still rolling. Trina looks down. I look down. At Cassie's round stomach. Trina's face softens. She reaches down and cups her hand around Cassie's belly.
Oh, is she kicking? Peaches was a nightmare with that. I swear the kid knew exactly how to target my bladder.
Peaches? Now I'm really reeling. Peyton is Peaches? Meaning both of them were on the road trip with Cassie all along? Cassie said she was with a young mother named Nina. Maybe she forgot Trina's name? They seemed close, though. I look around through Cassie's eyes, searching for Trina's husband, Peyton's father, who was on the road trip, too. I can picture him in blurry detail, light brown hair, pale skin. I don't see him anywhere. The other faces are indistinct, but the figures crowded on the shore seem to be mostly women and children, all dressed in white like Cassie and Trina.
Yes, she's been more and more active lately. He's missing it all. I can't believe he'd really want to stay away this long. Not now.
Beside Cassie, Trina's face darkens.
You know what she told us. He's not one of us. Not anymore.
I gasp, and I'm back in Cassie's bedroom. Only this time, I'm not alone. Judith is walking toward me. I scuttle back, wondering how much she's witnessed. Hopefully I haven't said anything. But her smile is sympathetic enough.
Here, let me take that.
She gently eases my mother's journal from my limp grasp before I can react.
Your mother warned me about these spells you've been having. Are you okay?
I'm worried she's going to crack open the journal and read all my mother's secrets. But she sets it on a side table without really noticing what it is.
I guess so. Sure. Thanks.
Judith takes my hands between hers, squeezing lightly.
Come on, let's get some dinner in you.
I fall into step behind her, my mind still reeling. My mom knew Trina and Peyton. They were on the road trip with her all along. And they all wound up here afterward, at Casa de Amizaj. They must have stayed at least long enough for Cassie's pregnancy to show, for me to grow strong enough to kick inside her. But what happened to the men? Just because I didn't see Trina's partner in the memory doesn't mean he's gone, per se. but my mother's companion definitely seemed to be, based on what she said. That does line up with what my mother told me about how my father abandoned her. But it just doesn't fit. And none of that explains why Trina and Peyton turned up at Heather Lake yesterday. Or why Trina didn't say anything about recognizing my mother. Peyton might have been too young to remember, but surely Trina would recognize her friend. Or maybe they were coerced into not saying anything. Only, by who? Judith leads me around the corner to an enclosed veranda. There are potted plants assembled around its edges, a big stained glass skylight, and a dining table at the center. There are long repurposed wooden benches on either side, large enough to easily hold 15 people.
"Found her,"
she calls to Cassie, who's already sitting, ready to eat.
"Oh, good."
Cassie smiles at me, seeming cheerful and relatively normal.
"Hungry?"
"Not really. I was hoping to talk to
you." "You will be when you try this."
I look at Cassie strangely. She just hoists a forkful of some sort of vegetable roast.
"Come on, pull up a chair and join us."
Then I glance around the rest of the table. Two men sit near my mother, holding hands and bowing their heads in prayer. Across from them, an older woman in a knitted shawl eats from a bowl of porridge. But when I notice two figures at the far end of the table, I freeze, my eyes going wide. It's Peyton and Trina. I'm so shocked that I just stand there in the doorway, my legs bolted to the floor.
"Join us, Alex."
Judith gestures to a sideboard, loaded with roasted veggies, verdant green salads, and some sort of pasta dish. My stomach growls at the sight, but I don't move. I'm pretty sure if I try to eat, it will just come straight back up. I can't handle this.
"No, thank you."
At the far end of the table, Trina is busy eating. But Peyton sees me, and she jumps up from her chair.
"Alex, isn't this funny? I didn't know you knew Judith, too."
I take a step back, toward the door. Is she lying? I think about Cassie playing tag with Peyton in the Redwoods, and my stomach twists. Because even if Peyton was too young to remember, Trina must. And yet she's sitting there, not saying a word.
"Alex, are you all right?"
She looks kind of pale.
"Cassie."
I turn to my mother.
"Can I speak to you, please? In private."
Cassie tilts her head, peering up at me as if I'm the one acting weird.
"Honey, whatever you have to say, surely it can wait until after dinner."
"It's important. Please."
"It's okay."
Judith places a hand on Cassie's shoulder.
"Go to the kitchen. It's private."
Finally, Cassie gives a reluctant sigh and rises to her feet. I lead her back through the door, but I don't wait until we reach the kitchen. The minute the dining room doors close, I whirl on her.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Don't you recognize those women?
Cassie frowns.
Are you all right? Oh, that girl's right. You do look pale.
I'm fine. Just freaked out. That girl? She's the same one we met at Heather Lake this afternoon. Peyton. And her mother, Trina. Don't you recognize them?
Oh, of course.
Cassie waves a hand.
We talked. They used to live here with Judith, too, years ago. They still come up for meals sometimes. Now that I think about it, I might remember Trina a little.
You should! I want to shake her shoulders. She was on the road trip with you. You called her Nina, though. Peyton was Peaches, the little girl.
Cassie's forehead scrunches slightly, and she blinks hard.
She did look a bit familiar. How wonderful.
A bit familiar? My head feels like it's exploding. You lived with her here at Casa de Amizaj after your road trip. For months. And I saw this initiation thing. Trina pushed you underwater in Heather Lake. Held you down until you started to scream.
What? Oh, come on, honey. My memories are spotty, but I would remember that.
But I saw it. Every single detail. There were other people all dressed in white, too. And it must have happened a while after the road trip because you were showing. The baby... I was kicking inside you. I felt it.
Cassie squints at me more closely, as if she's worried.
Alex, you aren't making any sense. The only memories Remy transferred were my memories from the road trip. 2 weeks worth.
She presses the back of her hand to my forehead.
Are you sick?
I swat her hand away.
Ugh, I just need you to listen.
But then the door to the veranda opens. I tense as Judith peers out.
Everything all right, ladies?
Go away!
I want to snap, but Cassie simpers.
We're fine. Alex is just a little confused. Maybe you could help her, Mama. Figure out what's going on in her head.
Judith looks delighted.
I'd be happy to talk to you, Alex.
No, a voice in my head tells me. Because all at once, I'm not sure Judith is a good person either. I need to get out of here. Off their property. I can't tell what's real anymore and what's made up. Who I should be afraid of. And as my mother looks at me with trepidation, I start to worry. Maybe I do need help.
Actually, I need some air.
I move almost without thinking. Behind me, Cassie and Judith both call my name.
Alex?
But I don't slow down.
Alex.
Their voices tangle together in my head, ringing against my eardrums, joined by the goddamn incessant humming of that horrible generator. At the main entrance, I wrench open the front doors to Casa de Amizaj, burst out onto the porch, and skid to a halt. Peyton is leaning against a banister, a stim in hand. A shiver goes through me. How did she get out here so quickly? Am I losing time? Peyton smiles at me as though nothing is amiss.
Hey, I just came out here to get some air and, well...
She shakes the stim with a wry look.
Mom doesn't approve.
She's showered since her hike earlier, but she still looks just as flushed, healthy, and happy. Yet she's fiddling with her stim in an all-too-familiar way. The same way I fiddle with mine when I'm anxious.
You and your mom, you've lived here a long time?
Since I was six. Judith took Mom in when we had nowhere else to go. Kind of like your mom, too, I guess.
She tosses her stim in the air, catches it easily. I try not to watch her hands, so tan and deft-looking. I wish she wasn't so damn cute. It would make walking away from her right now easier. I have no idea who I can trust, but I want to believe she's innocent in all this. That's getting harder, though, the more entwined our pasts turn out to be.
Isn't it crazy that our mothers were here together?
It's as if Peyton is reading my thoughts.
Once Cassie told me, I remembered her. She wasn't blonde back then, had darker hair, and she was pregnant.
Her eyes crinkle.
I'm guessing with you.
Peyton, from the corner of my eye, I notice curtains flutter inside the house. A shadow looks out at us, too far away for me to guess who it is. Judith? Trina?
You said you were six when Cassie was here?
Yes.
Do you remember anyone else with her? A young man with dark hair and a beard? Around my mother's age. They were together. He played with you both, in the forest.
Peyton's face clouds. Her eyes dart. But there's a look of recognition on her face. Maybe she knows something. Please. I think he was my father. But before Peyton can answer, the front door opens.
You girls all right out here?
Judith calls through the opening. I jump about a foot in the air, and Peyton steadies me with one hand on my elbow. Just that simple contact sends a jolt through me, and my stomach tightens. I can't afford this right now.
Just fine.
After a moment, Judith shuts the door again. I take a step closer to Peyton, unsure how much time we have before she checks on us again. Is Judith monitoring this conversation? Why?
I don't know him at all.
Maybe I shouldn't say it. Peyton's a total stranger. I still don't know if I can trust her. But I can't just drop this.
If you remember something, anything, please tell me.
Peyton pulls her bottom lip into her mouth.
I remember someone. He used to play tag with me. Had the most contagious laugh.
She lowers her eyes.
But I was so young, I'm probably misremembering. Because according to my mother...
There's another creak from behind us. Judith, hovering behind the door, I'm sure.
According to your mother, what? Was he a bad person? Did he hurt my mother? Why did he leave?
Alex, I don't know any of those things. I'm really sorry.
Did you know his name, at least?
I can't help it. Peyton's expression melts into something resembling pity.
I'm sorry, I really don't.
And then she glances worriedly back toward the house.
I should probably check on my mom.
I press my hands over my eyes. Every time I've tried to find out more about my father, it's only made me feel worse. I turn toward the driveway and start to walk, not even sure where I'm going. I need space to clear my head. Not to mention, I'd love to get far enough away from that damn noisy generator to hear myself think. But the more I move, the more I see flashes of the memories I've experienced. They're like pieces of a puzzle, knocking around my skull, begging me to connect the dots. Cassie running through the trees with Peyton, giggling. Trina pushing Cassie underwater, the lake closing over her head. Cassie kneeling beside a metal table with a still figure draped all in white atop it. That voice.
I need to tell you something, Cassie. About her.
I turn off the driveway onto a narrow path. Before long, I'm leaping over the roots underfoot, scrabbling through crunchy, dry leaves. The generator hum is a little less deafening out here, muffled by all these tree trunks and low-hanging branches. Branches that snag at my hair, scratch my cheeks. I barely notice. My father is there. He's inside my head. If I work hard enough, maybe I can dredge up another memory. One where I'll see his face, as clearly as I saw Trina's last time. I shut my eyes, try to breathe. I picture the Mexican restaurant parking lot, the bench at the amusement park,
gray eyes, dark hair. Just show me a face. Nothing. Scowling, I start to walk again. I dodge a particularly thorny bush, jump a fallen log, and then let out a startled yelp as I run smack into a solid, tall body. Before I can do more than yelp, one hand clamps around my shoulders, the other over my mouth. Just in time to muffle my scream.
Shh!
When I wheel around, confusion makes my head swim. It's him. His hair has gone silver around the edges, but is still a rich, dark brown underneath. He's clean-shaven now, but I can picture him with a beard. Are you real? I want to ask, because I must be hallucinating. There's absolutely no way my father would materialize in these woods just because I want him to.
Alex, it's me. You're safe.
My vision sharpens, and I draw in a breath. I was wrong. Everything is wrong. This isn't my father. I can't believe who I'm seeing.
You're listening to Memory Lane Season 1, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.
Memory Lane is written by Sarah Shepard and Ellen Goodlett. Produced by Rhoda Bayessa and Haley Wagreich, and executive produced by Molly Barton. Performed by Emily Wu Zeller, Leanne Marie Dobbs, Chris Shula, Elliot Schiff, Cherie Wichard, Tiana Camacho, and Caitlin West. Audio produced and directed by Amanda Rose Smith. Sound design and editing by Caitlin West. Additional editing by Corey Barton. Theme music composed by Amanda Rose Smith, with digital orchestration by Andrew Rowan and Max Kuttner. Music supervision by Amy Parker. Cover design by Kendall Thomas.